July 13, 2020, it's a Wife from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Just got a call. I guess, you know, I haven't played with anybody in real time. I've been recording, composing with buttloads, but it's more like the trade files. The other night, though, from Tokyo, Nobuyuki and Brother June from the Light guys at Tokyo tried to get this kind of in real time going where I can play with them. And so that was the first time I actually played with people without trading files, you know, one at a time. But now I just got a call maybe an hour ago from Peter and Perk of Porno for Pyro.
Oh, wow.
And they want Wednesday to do four songs. I guess Per wants to do some kind of Lollapalooza via YouTube.com or something.
Oh, wow.
So now these are songs I ain't played in 24 years. You hear another voice there, listeners, because even though Brother Matt's there at the Love Grotto, Quentin Quarantino mode, you know, 3 miles south of here, I am not man alone because due to the genius software programmers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Brett Nash with me from Charleston, South Carolina.
Howdy.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. And right before we started the show, we were reminiscing about South Carolina playing there because actually the two towns I mainly played was Columbia, of course, and Charleston. And his buddy who made the connect with me, Dylan, the Dear Blanca people, and we all shared the stage. What was the name of that pad in Charleston? It was Royal American Club. It wasn't really on the water. It was on the road coming into town.
Yeah, like you can see the water from it, but like it's kind of through some marsh. You can see the river from it. But yeah, it's more or less on the water, but not quite.
Yeah.
So cross some railroads.
It reminded me of the area of like one of those, because there was a bunch of different locations for that one pad. God, what was it called? The farm?
Oh, no, the music farm.
The music farm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. That's been a bunch of different places.
Yeah, and one of them was out on that road, but then one was downtown where the fucking trade and selling people was going on.
Oh, yeah,
shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some weird karma.
Charleston's got a history.
Yeah, sure. Well, every place does. Here in Pedro, right. In 1923, the Ku Klux Klan marched on the Wobbly Hall. And guess what the issue was? Immigration. Oh, almost 100 years ago, right?
Wow.
So in California, Southern California. So forget all them stereotypes. There's lots of assholes everywhere. We're trying to
fix. It's everywhere.
Yep, we're trying to fix that.
Exactly.
And anyway, there was another town, though. It's a college town in the West. What's the Clemson?
Probably Clemson.
Right? Yeah, Clemson is the name of the school. Is that the name of the town, too?
It's like, it's kind of a small town, maybe Greenville.
Greenville, that's what it's called. It's called Greenville.
Yeah.
Okay, and what I remember, I don't remember much about the gig. It was the Double Nickels on the Dime tour. So we're talking July in South Carolina. It's just very calm weather.
I'm trying to think, maybe it was like a Ground Zero was a place.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. You might be right, but what I remember most, or at all, was the opening band was called the Peach Puffins.
Ooh. I know.
You don't forget a name like that.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm going to have to do some research on that.
It was a little bit of skinny tie there, a little wave. But that's okay. In fact, there was a station. God, the boss there was really cool people. His name was Woody. It was called The Wave. And he would put on some gigs.
Okay.
You know, he'd sponsor some gigs I'd play. There used to be a sports bar downtown Charleston called Miskins or something.
I've heard of that place, yeah.
Yeah, and get this. Yeah. Somebody gave me the Satanic Majesty Salman Rushdie book. I put on the amp. I had a Hagstrom bass I'd just put together. Headstock just came off. I looked back. The book was gone. I never rebought it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't fuck... So that's my Michigans, but there was a cat named
somewhere
Woody.
In Charleston somewhere.
So I got some good memories back there. But what's really neat is a bass player. Your buddy Dylan had me on board
his
show.
His,
right. And Cam, we talked about bass players because there's a guy from South Carolina that's incredible influence on me. He ends up in Detroit.
James Jamerson?
Well, he ends up in Los Angeles, but in between he's got Detroit and, James Jamerson.
Yeah.
I think everybody on bass guitar owes this guy.
Definitely.
So Thank you, South Carolina, for making a bass man like that somehow. Because, I mean, he played with one finger and shit came from the stand-up world, but he was so innovative. I think he's the first guy to... Because I think other bass players before that, you know, serious guys on stand-up, they thought the bass guitar was a toy.
Right.
And James Jamerson was like, no.
He made it real.
Yeah, in fact, you're going to hear this on AM radio, Motown songs. Those little speakers and stuff. And just the way he swung, and it wasn't like, of course, in reggae, you know, Family Man, he's big. Big man and big sound. James A. Bogart, it ain't reggae, but he's swinging that thing. But look, we should tell people, we start off with, I want to talk about you, John Coltrane, live, 1961. And then I thought this was appropriate tune. It was called Intro. From the project you got called Vanity Plates.
Yep, yep.
Okay, we'll get to that. But let's go all the way back there, Brett. Your earliest musical recollection.
It's probably a tie between either starting piano lessons when I was five or listening to Steely Dan in my dad's car, basically. One of those two. Tie for both.
Yeah, I heard Donald Fagen doesn't play a lot later on. I think he's on the first album. So there was a piano in the pad. Where was the pad?
This is in, actually, Charlotte is where I first started out.
Okay.
Moved from Charlotte to Rock Hill to Charleston.
Milestone, right? Milestone.
Yeah, yeah.
Paradocto Club and a bunch of places I've played there. There was some kind of like cultural center trip thing that I would play. I can't remember its name right now. But,
ooh, I'm curious.
Yeah. It was a couple different pads. But anyway, so there's a piano in the pad. Now, you know, people we've had on the show have had some terrible experiences with learning piano.
For me, it was kind of, my parents were like, do you want to learn piano? And I was just like, all right. And it was good for a while. I kind of, just being a kid, kind of got burnt out. And that's when I later on started moving to drums. But, like, it was, I don't know, like, I wish I was better at practicing.
Oh, so you think it was your fault? Because it seems the consensus is usually the fucking teacher.
Yeah, my teacher was good. I don't want to blame it on her. She was, she tried.
Now, your parents, they're players?
My dad, he played trumpet, and he played, like, a little piano, but it was, like, mostly trumpet. I tried trumpet for a second and third grade, but none of the wind instruments I could... Can't really pull off the wind instruments.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about school. You tried out for the marching band or choir.
Yeah, I ended up doing percussion and marching band and drumline and stuff like that.
Yeah, for the football games. And,
mm-hmm.
Well, I ask that because some schools get rid of their music programs. I mean, even if you're fucking blowing a horn for the football game, it's better than nothing.
Right. Somehow, I think all the schools I know of in South Carolina still got music programs. Actually, like, the marching band in my high school was, like, super competitive. We do, like, you know, the shows, like, the competitions.
We
do the football game on Friday, then the competitions on Saturday thing.
Sure,
they got
kind
of competitive, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, the inner city here in L.A., me and Pettibone go to prep basketball games, and you would not believe. Yeah, it wasn't just like, you know, yeah, John Philip Sousa. Corny stuff.
Right.
It was like jamming ass percussive, really tight fucking happening. So, what was the first record you bought for yourself, Brett?
That would have had to have been a little record by Chumbawamba called Tub Thumper.
Oh, okay.
I heard that song, what was it called? I think Tub Thumping. And then on the radio, I just, like, listened to the alt rock radio, where I was like, that sounds cool. And then, turns out, strange enough, I think they're, like, this anarcho-punk band from Leeds, and that was, like, kind of their first...
No, I know about them because me and Kay and Dose got to play 3 gigs with them.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you, Brett.
How was that?
It was wild, you know, and the opening, the other act, we were the opening act, the middle act was Viv Libertine, because these guys were total, like, students of Crass.
Right, okay.
Even though they were Leeds... Crass was out on some commute, but there was some kind of connection between them, and Viv sang, and she had her son Nemo play guitar with her.
Wow.
So we had a member of Crass on the bill, and one of the gigs was actually here in Pedro. So we've had Chumbawamba, and then Maeve Mills, I've had him on the show and stuff, good guy. And they were of, self-contained kind of DIY, made their own shirts, their own, and a bunch of different people in the band. What about the first gig you saw?
That would have probably not soon after that. Actually, my mom was a huge Jethro Tull fan, so I probably 8 years old, I was second row for a Jethro Tull concert.
Yeah, I saw that a couple times.
Great, honestly.
But yeah. People don't know how huge they were. They were gigantic.
Yeah.
They would do like four nights in a row at the Forum here.
Damn. Yeah. They were like, it's weird. I've only ever really heard that much about them from my mom. More than like anywhere else, but
well, you know, a lot of things are just in their little era. It's hard for like Led Zeppelin, a Who. There's not really a lot of bands like that. Like they're giant, but they're only for that period.
Right, right.
You know, so and it's happened. It happens these days. People bring up people that I don't really know of, you know, but because
to a niche audience, they're like the biggest thing. Or something.
You know, I want to play you something else from Vanity Plates that you gave me. It's called Lie to Effects.
Sounds good.
Only one, but there was two from the start.
もないけれど満足も いない忙しくもないけど暇があるわけでもない話したくないけど黙ってもいられない出かけたいけれど行く場所がない夢を見たいけど見たい夢がないもう生きていたくないけれど死にたくもない
Watch for Pedro show.
We heard, yeah, Vanity Plates, Lie to FX. I remember there was a song called FX on the fourth Black Sabbath record. It's longer.
Oh, yeah.
It's longer on the England version. Also, Snowblind has him saying cocaine or something. Yeah. they recorded that in California, by the way. Dear Blind Cat, they got a new record called Perched, and there's a tune on it called Overpass. I might have, you know, Tom Watson, the Missing Man guitar player that you played, shared the stage with at the American Royal.
Mm-hmm.
He had a band called Overpass. But you know what? You know what? I wouldn't shit you, Brad. But you know what we called it?
Wait a second, sorry.
You know what we called it?
What?
Underpants. Overpass, you know. It's close enough. Close enough. Okay. Then Few and Seichi Yamamoto after that with Hana. Light. Those are the guys I told you I was talking with. I think next week I'm going to try to do a little jamming over 6,000 miles away in real time. We'll check it out. Disheveled Cuss after that with Wanna Be My Friend. And Nick Reinhardt, that's his new band, and he might be part of that too. Taramelo's guy. But I did a project with Nels Klein and Greg Sonnier of Deerhoof called Big Walnuts Yonder. And it was all for Nick, yeah. So he could, because he says, what's the guy on your first opera like? I said, you want to know him? Play with him. Right?
Yeah, the best way, yeah.
All right. Then Thorn Friends after that with the Escapist theme out of Austin. Pat Smear, Germs, his second solo album, Creep Street. And then finally, Let Myself In, another project sent me, Two Slices. So, Brad, what about the shit where you're after school in the basement or the garage or the bedroom, those kind of bands?
So I kind of had like in middle school, it was just like me and my friend. I think we primarily just played with each other doing Jimi Hendrix covers and Weezer covers. And then
you're stick man. You're stick man with a beat in the hand, right?
Yeah, at that time for sure.
So are you doing Mitch Mitchell or are you doing Buddy Miles?
Ooh, probably more on the Mitch Mitchell side.
Okay. Cuz both are good, you know, but they are they are a little different.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so go on. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh no, you're good. And then I kind of had like a little high school band that was just
let me get this straight. So you guys are just kind of learning songs off records?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, like me and that's how me and D Boone did it. We didn't write songs until we got into the movement.
Yeah, and rock, it's kind of the same thing in like Rock Hill. Like there wasn't much like original music. That's where I kind of grew up in like high school, middle school time, and it was just kind of like, oh, bunch of people getting together and playing covers, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, okay. And this band didn't have a name?
Named after one of my favorite things when I was 12 years old. It was a microwavable chicken dinner.
Okay, it's a good name.
Thank you. Thank you. 12-year-old me would have been proud.
Not microwave chicken, but microwavable.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you can cook it in the oven if you want, I guess.
Okay, but no gigs, right?
No. We're just in a living room, just hanging out playing.
Well, what about the first band? What about the first band you're in that does gigs?
The first band I actually is in that did gigs probably wasn't till college. It was kind of a friend of a friend of mine. I kind of knew a guy. We were talking about starting a ska band of all things. Yeah. And then his girlfriend at the time was like, well, I don't know any ska, but if you want to be my drummer, I'll do that. And then like she was kind of like a huge social butterfly in the like kind of underground Charleston scene. And so my first gig was at this house show, and it was amazing because it was just like all these people who were stoked to see us, and the house was packed. And that band was, I don't know if I already said, it's called Rock Paper Sexy.
And you guys doing original stuff?
Yeah, she wrote all the songs. Yep.
Wow. Now I should have asked you about the drums. What was your first drum set?
Well, my first drum set was, well, I kind of, the whole reason I even got into drums is I remember, like, there was some, like, church talent show, and then there was just some drums out, and then I don't even know why, I just jumped on the drums, and I started, like, I couldn't even reach the kick pedal, but just, like...
At church?
I did the... Yeah, and I just, like, it was, like, in the gym or something.
Yeah.
And there was, like, some, like... And then I had, like, just the floor tom and the snare, and then I just started playing the, like, you know, the classic do-do-da-do-do-do-do-do-da. And then, like, people just started getting up and dancing, and I was like, ooh, I could get used to this.
Yeah.
And then I started playing a lot more drums.
You'd be surprised, though, Brett. If you go back to old rock and roll, a lot of it came out. Well, the guys who ended up, you know, like Little Richard and Elvis Presley, they learned music in church. So there is a connection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, there is a connection. Probably also like singing your brains out and stuff, letting loose, you know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of vibe
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So it ain't too weird. But that was their set. What, did you kype it? No.
Well, I eventually, once I started doing like percussion and band, I got like the cheapest of the cheap, like the starter drum set from like Sam Ash or whatever. It was like, I think it was called Starion, and like, the cymbals, just like, if you played the cymbal and then you played the trash can lid, you would notice no difference in tone kind of thing.
Now, where'd you do Pratt?
Just at my house, really.
Where, in the bedroom?
We had, like, where the piano was. It was kind of like, kind of the music room. It was, like, where some
okay.
junk was stored in the corner, and then the other half, like, had drums and the piano.
But they were cool with the Bam Bam.
Somehow, yes. I think there's a few times where they're like, couldn't you play like a little quieter? But overall, they're cool.
Did you do the thing like George Hurley did, like put the headphones? He got Happy Jack and what's the ones that Billy Cobham? Spectrum.
Yeah.
He got those two records and he taught himself drums by just putting on headphones and beating the shit.
That was, yeah. I actually, I think it was... No, man, actually, I remember listening to Spectrum a good bit then, but honestly, probably what I...
You know that Spectrum record? I think it was the first gold record by a drummer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, that, what is it? Red Baron on there. I love
two,
that.
Part ones and two, Snoopy and the Red Baron, right? And then,
yep.
But I remember Georgie loved the first song. I think it was called Quadrant 4 or something.
Yeah. That was my one. For sure.
But what a weird mixture. And I actually saw Malavision Orchestra with Billy Cobham.
Oh, wow.
John McLaughlin stuff. He had three kick drums. He didn't play them all at one time, but it depends how his body was turned. But to mix that with Keith Moon, it was such a strange... It's just like D. Boone mixing John Fogerty with Buck Dharma.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So people ask why the Minutemen sounded weird.
That's it. Wow, yeah.
Parts is parts, right? You are
exactly.
with you chow or whatever. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. July 13, 2020, just Watt Peter Show. Special guest Brett Nash. Hold tight for hour two. July 13, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Yeah. You Oh, the son said, mother, don't you grieve and cry. You know your child was born to die. Then you must have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then you must have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then you must have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you must have that true religion. True religion in your soul. Then you must have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you must have that true religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bye.
Watt for Peter show start off the second hour with composition with Red, Blue, and Yellow, John Bias. Now, this doesn't say John Bias and Brett Nash, so you were aiding and abetting.
Yeah, this is kind of a project where John Bias, it's a friend of mine, Tobias is what he goes by, but he kind of just gets different cats from around and just, I think every, he had a thing where he's like, every single he had like a completely different band. So I played drums on that one for him. And I wanted to give him a little love since he kind of just involves everybody. He's just a total sweetheart. And that was a fun one. It was just
he's
me
Charleston,
and my friend Dakota.
He's a Charleston guy? Yeah, because when do you make the move from Charlotte?
Basically, when I went to college, I just kind of went to college in Charleston. Okay. And then just been here since, kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a school there, too, I think.
In Charlotte? Or
yeah.
Maybe UNCC. I mean, I guess there's a couple of...
I know Gastonia is where James Worthy's from, but he went to school. You know, all the real hoop is over there by the Triangle dude.
Totally.
And Tar Heels and Wake Hills. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Forest.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. We got a graveyard here called Forest Hills. In fact, I went to high school. This guy and his sister was Windy Hill, and his brother was Rocky Hill. Yeah, his parents were jokers.
Wow. Rocky Hill, what a name.
Yeah, Rocky Hill, Windy Hill, and Forest Hill.
Wow.
He names them after the graveyard. A lot of Hollywood people are in Forest Hill. Then we had Maya with Another Glass, Lewis Cole featuring Brad. Mahito with Real Life, The Magnet Hearts, that's Jonathan Hall with Temescal Canyon. All of the Places I've Never Been, New Hard Folk, Scott H. Birum with True Religion, and finally, Southern Femisphere,
mm-hmm.
Something new. Now, are these like projects you were doing when you got to college?
Yeah, over the years.
Okay, over the years. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when you're a drummer, man, you're in demand if you got a fucking beat in your hand, right?
That's true. And it's funny because actually recently I've honestly been gravitating more people having me play bass. I guess bass is a little bit hard. I kind of just fill in the cracks wherever someone needs me, basically.
Look, if you ask me, even though it looks like a guitar, it's got strings and things, all the notes are where the drum is. Kick drum, toms. Yeah, it's much closer to a drum set. And I also have this other philosophical idea that if you can play drums, since it's fucking rhythm music, you can play all the other things.
I'll take it. Good.
I don't know if you remember the Missing Man, but do you remember I had drums right up front?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big mistake that the Minutemen made. George Hurley should have never been in the back. Right?
Yeah, he's crazy.
But up front. Well, you know, it's ridiculous, you know, in a way. You know, it's like you're kind of in denial. And all these jokes saying drummers aren't really musicians and they're stupid. You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credits. This was a jazz drummer that Georgie was really into. And, it was like, what, they can't write music? Like when I did that stuff for Nick, for Big Walnuts Yonder, and he did an interview, and he said, yeah, Watt had some bass line. Like, they weren't songs, you know, with verse, chorus, and now they're just bass lines.
That's something, though. That's okay.
Well, you know, I think a lot of reggae, a lot of R&B, probably funk, starts with a good bass line, but you still need parts, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Carrie Nilsson, Lime in the Coconut, I think that's one part. Some songs, I think American Woman is one part. There's some songs that have one part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bass on the riff, yeah.
Okay, what about this Phalene?
So that's a friend of mine, Jenna Phalene's like her middle name, and she had like kind of a more of a folky kind of thing going on, and she kind of wanted to start doing a lot more rock stuff, so she kind of called upon me to. I think the song that I gave you is kind of, she had a vocal melody and and lyrics, and she was just kind of like, play some guitar under this and we'll come up with something. So that was kind of new for me to have lyrics and a melody already there and just having to build under that. So that she's actually in the next room right now. We're roommates, and I've been kind of like recording with her. So.
Oh, bitchin'. Okay, let's listen. This is called Crystal Mare.
From the milky stars, everyone is. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Yeah, Crystal Mayer. Not to be confused with anything else, people. By Faley. And this is helping you approach music a little different, the composition.
Yeah, I'm kind of the way I write music is I'll like kind of start with like a guitar riff and then eventually work my way to vocals and lyrics or something like that. But this was kind of the first time where like she come to me and like, all right, I got these lyrics, I got this vocal melody, I'm just gonna start singing, play under it, and then that's what we. I think that was actually Crystal Mars, which you just heard, was written.
Oh, it's Mars. That ain't an E. That's an S. Mare.
I thought it sounded weird.
Yeah. It's a fucking. Eyeballs are screwed up. Yeah, people, it's Crystal Mars.
Yep.
Mare. Now, you know, in high school, when you were doing the drums, you learned how to sight read for drums, right?
Yeah, the like little, like, you have the little X's for the cymbals at the top. Because and then you the would, drums.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Every drum has its own note. Yeah, the little X's on the staffs.
Right.
Yeah, because they don't last that long, but they still have a little bit of note.
Yeah,
because I have a buddy, she's a big session drummer in Tokyo, and man, she don't even have to even hear the fucking song.
She just plays straight.
Yeah, she's been Yamaha. You know they make drum sets. Well, over there they thought, fuck, let's make some schools to go with it, right? So right out of high school, she went to one of these fucking schools, and she got it down. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to aid and abet somebody, help realize their music. And that's why I like people to know, because there isn't really one way, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've slowly learned, is you can do it any way that works best for you, pretty much.
Right. Or the collab, right? The in-between, the dynamic in-between.
Exactly, the communication, yeah.
Right. And then White Light, White Heat, Velvet Cover, Call the Ambulance, Peter Lochner from the old days in the Cleveland scene. Groove Phil Ratio, that's Brother Phil up in Big Bear with Evening Star, Tomorrow the World. And finally, now this project I think that you're pretty much involved in nowadays, Secret Guest with Decimated Dreamland number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to ask about number 1 because, the last song on the last Creedence record with Tom Fogerty, right? It's called Rude Awakening number 2.
And I'm guessing there's no number 1.
Well, it might be, but I don't know where it
is. I don't know. Now.
I don't know where it is. But it's the most fucked up, weird Creedence song you ever heard. I think it's got backwards mandolin. Yeah, the album's called Pendulum. Tom quit after that. Tom only wrote one song for that band, even though it was his band, right?
Weird.
Yeah, his little brother took it over. Well, they only lasted a couple of years. All those 6 albums is like 68 to 70.
It's
incredible. Yeah.
You just expect that they've been around for like at least 10 years.
They were probably playing, the circuit, whatever, that was up there in that northwest bayou around Berkeley.
Right.
Very far northwest. But anyway, there's a song that Tom Fogerty wrote, the only one he wrote for Creedence, but it was covered by Richard Hell and the Voidoids. It's on his first, the first Voidoids album.
Whoa.
And when I asked Richard Hell about that, he said that was Bob Quine's idea.
Ah.
So, yeah, wherever it comes from, and then where you take it. It's all the dynamic between the people. And this lady, Faley, where do you, you're doing bass for her or guitar?
Well, it kind of like when we play live, it's interesting. For a while, she was playing some guitar, but she's kind of gotten to this area where she's like, I don't want to play instruments. I just want to sing. And so it's kind of right now, the core band is me, her, and my friend Michael Milam, who's also the drummer for Secret Guest. And I kind of, some of the songs, I just play guitar and I try and play it through 2 amps. So it's like a little fuller, like one amp's a little more on the bassy side, one's more on the trebly lead stuff, and then sometimes she'll play some guitar and I'll play bass. Sometimes I'll just play bass, depending on the song, basically.
Oh, so it's kind of a journey. You guys take all kinds of landscape. It ain't one tune over and over.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Damn, I got to hear some more. Well, you guys record more. You got to flow me some, okay? And then, this secret guest thing. Well, we're coming up to the end of the second hour here, so we'll talk about that hour three. People, July 13, 2020, Watt Pedro Show, special guest Brett Nash. Hold tight for hour three. July 13, 2020, it's third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
All right, let's get this fucking show on the road.
Every reason at all. Thank you. firmly. Let's see another reality. Follow me through the mirror. Jump down into the glass room. It's easy to love you. You're free as air. So easy to love you when you're there. Silently over the sky.
Down beneath it, been through to the head. it's pumping too fast. If it's just way too thick, so there's no way this could last. But all I want is to feel the buzz. My heart's pumping blood, but it's not pumping love, and that's all I want from you. Shut the alive, but my faith contractions feeling way too contrived. Just give me the bones, I'll say I'm dying, and I will construct the most beautiful shards. But that's all I want from you.
One more. Sorry, it's late. I know. I don't even want to look at what time it is. I'm going to get out of here. I swear to God, I'm not going to keep you hostage much longer. This is an old one into a classic.
Well, from Pivo Show, we started the third hour off with Secret Guest doing Joker City. This is live stuff. Brett gave me. Crane after that with Misunderstood. Some Nomad Eel stuff with Dream Phases doing Flesh and Blood. Black Moon Tape, Summer 97. Oh, yeah, way back in the summer 97. And, yeah, what was it? I think I was doing That's My First Opera. It caught a plate in the engine room. Then Zigzags after that with Magic live on KXLU. which is trippy. It's a Jesuit school, but most free-form, open-ended radio show ever. Love it.
Interesting.
And Stella's still there. Stella from Stay Prop, maybe 30 years she's had her show there.
Wow.
She graduated. She got the sheepskin, but she never left the job. And finally, No Buzz, live secret guest. Tell us the story of Secret Guest.
I had another band, which, sorry, I didn't send you any songs, called Boring Portals with a friend of mine, and everybody else got their own band, and I was the only one who really cared, if you will. And then I wanted to write my own songs, so I started a Secret Guest, and it was kind of a half and half thing. I think I have some stuff I recorded one album by myself, and then one album with a band to try and see how the two would compare. And
hold on there, Brett. You mean you put together a band, and then you just had a whole band?
Well, yeah. I think my original idea, just because I was having a hard time with people flaking out on the band, I was like, this will be me and then a revolving cast of players, whoever wants. Of course, though, the people I picked ended up making themselves a distinguished part of it that was irreplaceable. Okay. But it was formed that way. It would be, I feel like at the time I was just seeing a lot of bands where everything was planned out to a T. I watch these sets where I know exactly what note they're going to play. This songs are going to be in this order. Even the banter is this is where they say this banter here.
Man.
And I wanted to do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I think the first songs some of the songs I purposefully didn't even have completed lyrics because I wanted to see what I would say when the time came, when the song came up. And that's what the band was. And
ain't it a trip, too, when the scene is small that almost everybody's in each other's bands?
Oh, yeah. I'm notorious for that. There's
because it seems you were joining bands, but this is the first time where you wanted to be the put-together, the shot call.
Exactly. 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 Yeah, I had some... I like being a tugboat, but every once in a while I want to front something too, thing.
Well, life's about taking turns, Brett.
Exactly.
There's something in the racket called sidemanitis. So these guys start complaining. That's because they've never, they've never taken the role. There's a lot of different ways to collaborate, right?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've been in multiple where a lot of sideman things where it'll be a mixture where it's just I think it should be this, but then other times where I'm whatever you want me to play, I'll play it. I played with a lot of bands where it's, they already have everything pre-recorded, so I'm okay, that's the bass line, that's the drum part. Just learn that and then play the gig thing. Which is cool.
You're taking the direct... Absolutely, because if you ask me, if you're always the boss, there's stuff you're not going to learn.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know that's what society tells you. That's the goal, to be the boss. But not for a full classroom life, no. You got to take turns.
Exactly. I feel like I've even recently joined bands that I guess style-wise aren't as much my cup of tea, but then I'm I want to learn, I want to see what this side of it is, just be a part of it and then just gather more and more experience in different areas thing.
Yeah, I want to play Faded History before you fade into history.
swimming pool. Yeah, you could drown me. You know it's cool. I was never there. Was I ever there? Only useful when parts are free. But David Spade had comedic ploy in such films as Tommy Boy. But was he ever there? He was never there. Like 90s fair. Was he ever there? You're going to put that over the solo again, right?
Yeah, yeah. like a color wheel.
Thank you.
Swap
in a certain way. Yeah.
Okay, Fade in History, Live Secret Gas. And then Chico Raros from Barcelona with Nietos de Doruti, Galaxy. Okay, what are you doing during the lockdown? These motherfuckers recorded 8 albums, okay? So I don't want to hear anybody complain about being bored. They live out in the desert here, Raquel and Jared. And 8 albums in the last couple months.
It's crazy.
Okay, so Heaven Channel Season 1, LP4. This was the fourth. Henry Kaiser, he can't go to, you know, he usually works down in Antarctica for a few months every year, but because of the situation, he can't go, so... First you fall in love with Antarctica, and then it breaks your heart. And finally, Secret Guest doing the Endless Desert version of Decimated Dreamland number 2.
Yep.
And so, how's it working out with the Secret Guest?
Well, we're kind of more or less, we're in hiatus now because of all the quarantine and everything, but the other main guitarist, he kind of got burnt out. He actually joined Dear Blanca for a second. And he was kind of doing my thing where he joined way too many bands. And he said it was like, he was kind of like, this isn't starting to get not fun anymore. So actually the live recordings I sent you were kind of, well, they're supposed to be the last 2 shows he played. And then we played like a couple of shows since. So he kind of quit, but then he's also recently been like, I kind of miss it now. Maybe we can do it again. But
the Secret Guest moniker means anybody can take this cat's place.
Exactly.
Just has to be actually, secret.
Exactly. And he's even said that. He's like, I don't know what's so special about me. Just get any old guitarist in there and you'll be good. So I'm working on figuring that out. I'm like kind of recording some demos at home. I mean, I'm not doing 8 albums, but trying to get there, but working on that, and maybe once shows happen again, maybe reforming in with a different people. I've had some people like.
What about recording by trading files over the internet?
I've been meaning to do that. I don't own a computer right now, so I've been just working with a 4-track. But I think I can figure out.
You know these smart things. This guy Barry Burko in Tel Aviv made a whole album on an iPhone.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I know
he was using the virtual instruments.
Yeah, well, there you go. I guess,
but I think they come with GarageBand, so you can record analog shit too.
Yep, I have it on my phone, so I've worked a little bit with that. So, and actually, even
because that's a pewter, actually, that's probably got more compute power that they used to put the guy on the moon in 1969.
Yep, in the palm of your hand.
That's right. So you can do. Where can people find you on the internet, Brett?
Man, I've been listening to the show, and I tried to find a domain name, and
WordPress.
I'm working on it.
WordPress. Go to WordPress.com.
Okay, WordPress. Okay, cool.
You can get a website for free there. WordPress.com.
There you go. Because I think I went to a different site and I looked at secretguest.com and it was like, even though I went to the website itself and nothing was there, it was just like, this will cost $3,000.
Yeah, they're called squatters. They're motherfuckers. I had to buy my name. Asshole.
So I'm going to find a workaround name.
Well,
for now.
If you do it for like WordPress, it'd be like secretguest.wordpress.com.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm something like that. In the meantime, you know.
So look for that in the future. But for now, like Bandcamp, secretguest.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
It's probably your best bet.
Still, that's where there's music. I love the Bandcamp people because nobody like them ever gave part of the monies like these guys.
Right, exactly. Then they're like giving back. They have like these like occasional Fridays since like
the
quarantine started where they're like, we're not even taking any of the money. It's all straight to the band. So they're trying.
Big respect to Bandcamp. Nothing like the old My Waste of Space place or the fake look. What would be your advice to somebody getting into music?
Let's see.
From your experience.
From my experience, like, for instance, if I could talk to 13-year-old me, yeah. I feel like I had a big problem with being like, well, I need to, like, learn the right way to do music. I need to, like, learn all this. And I feel like the more I learn, there's ways you're quote-unquote supposed to do it, but there's really no right or wrong way. Just do what feels right to you and just put that out there and not toil around being like, overthinking, be like, am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do this? Because that was what I was doing all the time, and I wish I didn't.
That sounds like you were feeling the weight of peer pressure.
Yeah, more or less. Like what there's my other advice, though. Don't even worry about what other people do. Whatever feels right to you and not.
Oh, no, I think I know what you're saying. Your own expectations. Let go of those because you don't know yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
That's great advice. Big honor. Look, when you get into mode with operating with your Charleston Cats there and get the new album out, will you come back on the show and we'll play every song and talk about it?
I would be honored. That sounds
okay.
Great.
Okay, thank you, Brett. Okay, people, it's been July 13, 2020 edition of WAP Peter, so keep your powder dry.